class. Now, I say class. I mean, all classes that day were freshmen, English 1. I got there, and there didn't happen to be any notes on the desk, but I was told to call the teacher, and she would let me know what to talk about. So she and I visited her, and the papers were about what she was calling a writing prompt. Okay? So I was to lead the class briefly on the idea of social justice. Well, I must admit I was a little bit hesitant, but I didn't say anything. I just let the conversation end shortly thereafter. I had a conference period first hour, so I was kind of, you know, the first couple of them were fairly easy to handle, but I was kind of trying to figure out, all right, how am I going to handle this social justice aspect? So I went to one of the teachers that was nearby who had a conference period too. He was called a doctor, so I don't know if he was the head of the department or not, but he kind of wrote out to me kind of a, you know, one of the questions I had was, all right, if I'm going to briefly talk to them about social justice, how, you know, what is the appropriate thing to say? Here we are in a public high school, freshman English. You know, I don't really want to say anything that's going to be too far out of line for the circumstance. So he gave me kind of a definition. He was actually surprised by the assignment, but he kind of put together his own, I guess, definition that I could use. A little bit later, I decided to give her a call back. And so as I talked to her, I asked her, have they talked about social justice in this class? Well, no. Do they know what social justice is? Well, so the idea was I could lead the class briefly on talking about social justice, and they could write this writing prompt. Well, I may tell you later kind of how I did it. Right now, I'm simply trying to get the idea, because from that, as I contemplated it, later it also, I contemplated it more on my own behalf as well. You know, as we think about it this morning, I'm just kind of bringing this topic to your attention. What is social justice? How, if you were asked to describe it, if you were asked to write a paragraph on it, to speak to somebody about it, what is social justice? What all does it involve? And as we talk this morning, that's kind of the direction that we're going to go. Except, instead of just social justice, I'm going to start with spiritual justice. Because to me, if we're going to talk about social justice, if we're going to talk about any kind of justice, the place we start is spiritual justice. A second area I'm going to also talk about is personal justice. And then we'll come back to the idea of social justice as well. As I said, it all begins, to me, all aspects of justice begin with God. And that's the idea of what I'm calling in this case, spiritual justice. Now, boiled down to a very simple idea, justice is the idea of being just or right. In the Bible, in essence, justice equals righteousness. You know, in the Old Testament, as it was written in Hebrew initially, before it was translated into English, there was a particular word, and I won't worry too much about, I mean, I'm not even going to try to say it, but the particular Hebrew word that was translated as justice was also translated as righteousness many times. This word appeared 157 times in the Old Testament, 128 times it was translated as righteousness, 15 times it was translated as justice. And again, if you look at the definition, it was justice and righteousness both. So in a sense, we've got justice and righteousness being very, very related. Maybe you could say essentially the same idea. One other aspect that I found interesting, in the Old King James, the word justice is only found 28 times. In the New King James, it's found 129 times. In the NIV, basically the same, 128. In other words, as the New King James was written, there was also a lot of other places where they began to use the word righteousness rather than justice. They use the word justice rather than righteousness a lot more in the New King James. But the idea is it's God who declares what is right. It is God who declares what is just. That's where it all begins. It is God who reveals that the just shall live by what? The just shall live by faith. That's what God reveals. It's God who teaches the righteous what to believe. and how to act. That's why it all begins there. The very basis of the gospel involves the righteousness of God, both in His qualities and attributes, and also how He makes His people to be righteous as well. You remember from Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So we see here again the idea of the righteousness of God and the idea of the just living by faith. So what we see is spiritual justice is rooted in faith. Faith in God, faith in Christ as His Son and our Redeemer. Now this faith we see is a believing faith. It is a faith that acts. It is a faith that trusts. This is what spiritual justice is rooted in. Spiritual justice is also rooted in receiving a just reward for the good and the evil that we do. What do we find in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. For if we sow to the flesh, we will reap corruption. And he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Spiritual justice is also rooted in God's mercy. We can do all the good things in the world, but without God's mercy, we will also lack eternal life. Spiritual justice is rooted in God's mercy. I really appreciated 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. It came to my attention several years ago, and I've used it various times in lessons. But for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Remember justice and righteousness, how closely they are related. Here was Jesus who knew no what? But he became sin for who? Us. That we might become the what? Righteousness of God in him. So we see spiritual justice rooted in God's mercy. Spiritual justice is rooted in how we treat others as well. I always get the King James and the New King James mixed up now because I read from the New King James a lot, but also still have the old King James in my head. So I'll go ahead and just go from the New King James Version. Whatever ye want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets, from Matthew 7:12. However you want people to treat you, obviously you treat them. One of the golden rule that many of us know, and many people, whether they are steeped in Bible knowledge or not, certainly appreciate and know that idea as well. But spiritual justice is rooted in how we treat others too. These are some of the aspects then that we have of spiritual justice. And I'm going to share with you a couple of other passages as well. And part of the whole reason for this is any type of justice starts with God's spiritual justice. Psalm chapter 89. I'm going to share with you three or four other passages. And for these I will turn there. So if you want to turn with me, feel free. Psalm 89, verses 13 and 14. As a matter of fact, I'm going to pick up with verse 11. Psalm 89, verse 11. And right now we're talking about God and His justice. The heavens are yours. The earth also is yours. The world and all its fullness, you have founded them. The north and the south, you have created them. Tabor and Hermon rejoice in your name. Those would be mountains. You have a mighty arm. Strong is your arm, and high is your right hand. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Mercy and truth go before your face. So most of that passage was valuable because it showed God's creation and His power over it. But also we see in verse 14 how it relates to this topic. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of God's throne, of His kingdom. Mercy and truth go before your face. Also, I enjoy how Proverbs begins. I'm going to go to Proverbs chapter 1. I'm going to look at verses 1, 2, and 3 there. Again, finding God's justice here. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. So of these writings of the book of Proverbs, it relates to a variety of things, including God's justice. Isaiah chapter 9 talks about Christ. I'm not going to turn to this passage. I'll just read what I've written here, but feel free to turn to it. It's a very valuable passage about a prophecy of Christ. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. I was thinking forevermore, but it just says forever. So we see this prophecy of Christ, and at the end it talks about to order and establish it, the throne of David, God's throne, Christ, the throne of us also as we serve a risen Savior, to order and establish it with judgment and justice forevermore. And the last one that I'll briefly look at, talking about God's judgment, one very well known from the Old Testament, Micah chapter 6, verse 8. He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Justice begins where? Justice begins with God. And that's why we've spent time talking about spiritual justice. I want to spend a little time talking about personal justice. Because spiritual justice and how we, the relationship we have with God is very much affected with the relationship we have with other people as well. We talked about how spiritual justice is rooted in how we treat others. And to do justly involves this on a personal level. How we interact with our co-workers, how we have integrity, honesty, generosity, how we treat others, and also how we respond to how they treat us. We show special attention to those who may need help. That's another aspect of this. I'm going to go to Romans chapter 12. One of the interesting things about God's justice and the way God asks us and demands that we live as Christian is to treat others well, yes, but to treat not only our friends well, but also if and when we have enemies, to treat them well too. Romans chapter 12, I'm just going to pick up with verses 17 to 20. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is an aspect of personal justice that we have then as we live with others. I'm going to look at two other passages. This next one here is fairly short, but in Psalm chapter 82. And as I'm picking this, not only because it shows personal justice, but it also shows a basis for what could be called social justice as well. So in just a moment, as we get into social justice, we see what many would use as a basis for this as well. Psalm chapter 82, verses 3 and 4. Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Free them from the hand of the wicked. That's what you and I are instructed to do as we live in personal justice, if you will, on a personal level. But it also is a part of social justice. But it's a part of social justice, not because it's what God has said, or I should say it's part of justice itself, because it is spiritual justice as well. It is God's word to us too. And the last passage I'd like to look at relating to this is probably the most well known of this, in Matthew chapter 25. There are several verses I will read here. Much of it you already know, so feel free to listen or look. But in Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 to 46. We have the sheep and the goats. We have all being gathered before God. The shepherd dividing the sheep from the goats. I'm only going to read verses 34 to 40. There's other parts of this that deal with it as well. But then the king shall say to those on his right hand, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and ye gave me food. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. I was naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me." Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" And the king will answer and say to them, "Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me." Personal justice. Walking justly before our God. This is very much an aspect of this type of justice. It also sets the groundwork of what has often been referred to in today's world as social justice. Now, social justice is a very huge realm that we could talk about, as is spiritual justice, as is personal justice. One of the nice things about teaching a class that I have for the last three months is that I could take a lot of different topics and develop them over the course of a week. Now I'm back to taking a 20 to 30 minute sermon and taking a big area and trying to narrow it down. So there may be things about spiritual justice that you would have liked for me to include that I didn't. There may be things about personal justice that you would like to include, but I didn't in this case, as we try to narrow it down. And in terms of social justice, there's many, many different definitions. One that I found that didn't get too philosophical on us, but also made the point. Here's how social justice is defined, at least in one place. The fair and proper administration of laws, conforming to the natural law, that all persons, irrespective of ethnic origin, gender, possessions, race, religion, etc., are to be treated equally and without prejudice. You know, when it comes to justice itself, is there anybody that can stand against justice? If we say justice, everybody wants to agree with justice, right? We want to agree very much with spiritual justice, and that's why I can fully embrace spiritual justice. I fully embrace the idea of personal justice. There are aspects of social justice, as is defined or as is viewed by society, that also has roots and has a connection with scriptural principles. And truly, if it is a scriptural principle, and there is nothing in it that would contradict scriptural principle, there are aspects that are of social justice that we also could agree with. You know, when I was asked to kind of lead the class on social justice, one of the ideas that came to my mind that I mentioned at the time was historically, now about 60 or 70 years ago, in our country, we had water fountains and we had bathrooms. There were some that were for whites and there were some that said colors. Over time, that changed. That was, to me, an example of social justice that is very, very appropriate. It doesn't really matter what color you are in terms of what bathroom you use. It doesn't matter what color you are, whether you can go into a restaurant and eat. So that is an aspect, historically, where social justice prevailed, and in a very good way, I think. We've got the idea of helping the helpless, helping the needy and the poor. Very much a part of spiritual justice, personal justice, and social justice. Social justice involves perceived inequalities in a lot of areas. Racial inequality, gender inequalities, economic inequalities. The idea of trying to increase the minimum wage comes from social justice. The idea of how much the CEO is paid compared to how much the regular workers are paid. All of these are in the news a lot in today's world. Reducing and eliminating hunger. Reducing and eliminating poverty. All of these, again, are aspects of social justice. Also, along these same, well, along different lines in a sense, but still under social justice, very much in today's society we have homosexual rights, same-sex marriage, transgender issues. All of these would come under this big umbrella of social justice. Well, as we said, there's aspects of this that are appropriate, not because they are social justice, but because they are God's justice. Helping the poor, and aspects that we talked about historically of race would be some of them. But over the past few months, over the past few years, social justice has become more and more and more prominent in our society. You know, with that writing prompt, it seemed the way it was asked, and kind of the writing prompt, the idea is there were certain phrases that were used on a piece of paper to help them prompt their ideas about how to write. Part of it seemed to be that you would either say, I support social justice because, or I would oppose social justice because. One of the things that to me is apparent is that there are some aspects that would be in line with Christian teachings, and there are some aspects that would not be in line with Christian teachings. And I would see that it not necessarily be embracing all of it or throwing all of it aside, but there are aspects that are appropriate and some that are not. You know, talking about social justice, I'm also going to get a little bit personal with this. It really wasn't, I mean, as I began this lesson, it wasn't intended to bring this topic out or this aspect out, but I think it helps to hit home. I have a close family member who would probably strongly support many ideas of social justice. One of the dangers that to me involves social justice and spiritual justice is sometimes people can become so engrossed and so involved with areas of social justice that spiritual justice is left behind. I have a person in my family who, as they became an adult, very early in their adult life, aspects of the church became less important to them. Over time, in essence, it seems that they have abandoned the idea of going to church and abandoned the idea of worshiping God. In the meantime, they've become very, very, very involved with many causes. And many of them could be good causes. I mean, this was 20 years ago. I don't know how involved this person is right now in these issues, but I know 20 years ago, something that really came to his attention was the idea of how we treated the Indians. As white Europeans came into this country and they took over more and more territory, how did they treat the Indians? The Indians were... We unjustly treated the Indians. They would look at a lot of other areas about injustices that are out there. This person went to a foreign country and lived for a couple of years. And when I say a foreign country, I'm talking about an economically depressed country where they went and gave of their life, helping people build roads and do various things. So being very involved in, was that a good cause? That's a good cause to go out and help people who are downtrodden, whether it's your neighbor here in Ozark, whether it's in your neighbors in your area, or whether it's in other countries. There are many good causes that a person can embrace. But what happens, one of the dangers is sometimes in an effort to do that, spiritual values are abandoned. This person that I'm thinking of, I know was involved with several peaceful demonstrations, I guess you could say, sit-ins and things. Not only locally where he lived, but I think also went to Washington to protest certain things. I believe he spent time in jail, literally, as a result of some of this. Now, it was very short times, I believe. But the point is, sometimes, and this to me is one of the dangers of social justice, is we can become so involved in social justice aspects that we can forget the spiritual justice. And that's why I started the lesson with spiritual justice. Because at the very root of social justice and our understanding of it and what we would accept or what we would not accept, at the very root of that is God's justice, spiritual justice. And yes, we continue to reach out and we do what we can on a personal level. And that's kind of the order that I would prioritize them. Spiritual justice, personal justice, and then social justice, where it aligns with Christian principles too. What we see in our society today, that social justice is waxing while spiritual justice is waning. Man's ideas begin to take precedence over what God's ideas and His Word of what is right. We are taking our own ideas and we are saying that they are God's. So as we come together this morning, there's lots of different people here this morning. Many of us come from different backgrounds. Some of us have certain views of social justice. Some of us have different views. But the whole point is, I would encourage each and all of us to start at the very roots and allow spiritual justice to be the basis of our life. Any social justice that you may support, consider the Word of God and consider spiritual justice and where it fits. And from there, recognize what we embrace and what we don't. May we not allow, just taking the idea of same-sex marriage, for instance, and taking the idea of social justice, one of the things that became more clear to me as I thought about and prepared this lesson, the whole point becomes, if this is all you're thinking about, well, why can't this person have the same right to marry as this person? And therefore, if this person doesn't have that right, their rights are being denied. If you're going only on the social justice aspect, you're missing something very, very important, and that is a basis of spiritual justice. And again, to me, that became more apparent how that fits in. And the more and more that society embraces social justice to the detriment of spiritual justice, it also is to the detriment of our people and our society. So this morning, my encouragement to you is to embrace and appreciate spiritual justice. Allow that to be the overriding justice in your life. And any other aspects of justice are seen through those lenses. This morning, as we conclude this lesson and we offer the gospel invitation, if you're here this morning and you've not accepted yet Jesus Christ, spiritual justice that you would would result in your life at this stage is that of not being saved. God's justice, though, is through His mercy and through your obedience and your belief in Jesus as the Son of God. His plan for you is to be saved as you follow Him. This morning we offer you the invitation to come forward, to be baptized, confessing Christ, and to rise and walk a life for Him. If you have this or any other needs to bring before us, please come as we stand and sing.